Hello all sentient beings and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we review Star Trek vs. Transformers Issue 4. Comic book artist Andrew Griffith tweeted out images for a Transformers My Little Pony crossover that never came to be, and we have a lot of info to share regarding Wave 2 of the Transformers trading card game. Today is Friday, February 1st, 2019, and this is episode 114 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
How are you now? My name is Arish, and I host the Letterkenny Podcast at letterkennypodcast.com. It's about the hit streaming show Letterkenny, available in Canada on Crave and in the US on Hulu. Now, if you're not able to get those services, you really should listen to the podcast, where I go through each episode, give a synopsis, my review, plus some interesting facts about each episode. I even go through some of the show-specific terms you might not be familiar with, like Tilly Time or a Donnybrook. You can learn what it takes to have a super soft birthday party, or what even those two guys did with the ostrich, allegedly. Anyways, we just finished season one. As a result, we're celebrating by having a Twitter contest, and we are giving away the Letterkenny DVD collection, which contains seasons 1 to 5, plus 3 bonus episodes. So pitter-patter and get at her, subscribe to the Letterkenny Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. You can reach me on Twitter, at LetterkennyPod, or at LetterkennyPodcast.com. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to distribute some free literature.
That commercial was so fucking pathetic, bud, you gotta give your balls a tug. Fuck you, Sharzy.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that always follows the Optimus Prime directive. I'm your host, Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team, Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
It's very logical.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Beam me up, Charlie. Let's talk Transformers.
All right. And we're here to talk about Star Trek versus Transformers coming up soon. You probably figured that out from the intro. Before we get into that, of course, we always start with donations. There are no new donations this week, but we always thank our Donatrions, those lovely people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal every week. So thank you to all of our current and past Donatrions and all the Donatrions yet to come. Also, if you cannot afford to donate or you have no interest in donating, but you want to buy some cool t-shirts from TeePublic, please consider using our link, because that helps us out and gives us a little kickback anyway. And if you're going to buy the t-shirt anyway, why not help us out at the same time? So just go to transmissionspodcast.com/shop, and that will be a portal directly into the TeePublic website. You could also buy our TeePublic shirts while you're there. All right, so enough shilling. Let's go straight into some comics news. All right, so we've got more manga from Takara Tomy. So they've been, you know, in all their Transformers releases from the Legends line. That's was their equivalent of the Prime Wars trilogy line. And they've got a couple of exclusive figures from the Takara Tomy Mall. These are the Legends variant or versions of Repugnus and Grotesque, which are called Repug and Groats in Japan. I don't think there's anything different with the decos or anything like that. They're just the same figures being released in Japan. But they come with a nice manga. Usually these are drawn by Hayato Sakamoto. I don't know if he's drawing this one, but it's a lot of pretty art. But the language is, of course, Japanese, so I can't read it. Take a look. We've got a link. Looks like at the end we've got some cameos from Beast Wars Megatron and Optimus Prime and a bunch of Beast Wars, all the Beast Wars characters, looks like. Take a look. Next little bit of information. We've got some line art for an unreleased Transformers and My Little Pony crossover cover. So this cover features Optimus Prime, Jazz, and Bumblebee crossing over with the ponies. I think one of them is Rainbow Sparkle. Do you guys know the other ones? Or there's Twilight Sparkle, or are they all Sparkle? I don't know.
But I don't No, you guys are the ones with daughters.
She's not into the ponies.
I don't know.
It's in the story. Twilight Sparkle, Applejack, Fluttershy, Rarity, Pinkie Pie, and Rainbow Dash. So, yeah. So, it's a cute cover, and it's drawn by Andrew Griffith with colors by Priscilla Tramontano. Unfortunately, this never got on an actual comic. Yeah, it's a cool image. I wonder what comic it was going to be the cover for.
Well, it's a crossover.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought maybe it was just the cover was a crossover, but there was going to be an actual Ponies Transformers crossover. All right, next we've got an interview from Chris Ryle, the new Chief Creative Officer and publisher at IDW. He recently rejoined IDW back in December. So there's an interview at Tripwire magazine website asking Chris about his thoughts on the 20th birthday of IDW. So some little tidbits of information on Chris's long career at IDW. So you can check that out. Next, we have an interview with the writer Brian Ruckley, the new writer on the upcoming IDW Transformers comic series reboot. He gives a little bit more information about the setup for the new Transformers series. I think we've already talked about how it's set in the early days of Cybertron. It's a pre-war setting. It's going to get into how the war kicks off. Brian Ruckley talks about creating a couple of new characters for the series, but also using a lot of the established and existing characters. So
it is a reboot, right?
Yes, it is a reboot.
From all accounts, yeah, it is.
So I don't want to get into too much detail. It is a little bit spoilery. If you don't want to get any, if you don't want to get any details about the upcoming series, you should probably avoid this, but if you are curious, you can read this interview and get a little bit more a feel for Mr. Ruckley is going for in this new series. I'm encouraged by his enthusiasm for the property. He does talk about how he wants to focus on characters, that the core of the story is about the characters. So that's always good to hear when you're talking about Transformers. I'm looking forward to this. What do you guys think? Are you guys cautiously optimistic?
Yeah. I mean, I'm on board, until it goes Heart of Darkness on me.
Yeah.
He seems to be saying what I want to hear. I mean, starting off with a murder mystery and it's, pre-war. And then he's like, you can really do good sci-fi with Transformers, which we know you can. So, eventually I think it will become, a galaxy-wide thing again.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm interested to see how it's done.
Yep.
Yeah, I would say I'm also cautiously optimistic as well. I mean, we had a discussion, Jeremy and I, about the idea that it's five issues to start. That can be troublesome. We kind of would have liked to have seen it be a shorter start. But again, comics today are written for the trade, so that's
it's one
just
trade.
Something we're going to have to deal with. We can't really judge it yet because we haven't really seen anything, so... And I've definitely never read anything by him before, so I have no previous experience from his writing. So, I just got to wait and take it as it comes.
Yeah, and speaking of that, of the arc length for the first few issues, we also got some our solicitations information for the April 2019 IDW Transformers comics. Not surprisingly, Transformers number 3 and number 4 are coming out in April. Well, they're scheduled for April. We'll see if they both come out in April. But yeah, I mean, I did listen to that episode where you guys called me the old ball and chain. And I do remember your discussion about, the longer story arc can get to be a bit of a drag. Hopefully, if these comics are going to keep coming out twice a month, that'll reduce that pain a little bit. Because if we get those five issues in 2.5 months, that's a good pace for a story arc.
Yeah.
So
Come
on, Diamond, come on, IDW.
Yeah, I don't see them keeping up that pace long term. Except, I mean, they do have two artists, I guess. But it's just, I don't know. Just having double shipping just never seems to work out long term.
Hmm.
I would love it if they did, but I'm just I don't have faith in Diamond.
And you should not. All right. Well, that's all the comics news. So let's move on to our comic review.
We are reviewing Star Trek versus Transformers number 4. This is written by John Barber and Mike Johnson, art by Philip Murphy, colors by Josh Bertram, letters by Krista Meissner, editor is Chase Moratz and David Mariette. So there are three covers here. Cover A has Optimus opening the Matrix as it looks like the Enterprise is warping away. And this was done by Philip Murphy. Cover B has Optimus looking into his new Enterprise playset. And this was done by Priscilla Tramontano. And then the RI cover is kind of an aged poster look with Bumblebee holding Lieutenant Imres. And that was done by George Kaltusadas. I apologize for mispronouncing that, which I'm sure I did. Charles, of the three, which one do you like?
I think I'm going to go with cover B by Priscilla Tramontano, just because I think that Optimus Prime face is really well done. Mm-hmm. That's like a perfect G1 cartoon Prime face and head there.
Nice. How about you, Daryl?
Yeah, I think I'm going to take cover B also. It's neat to see the scale that one's representing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't think either one of them represent anything that goes on in the book.
No,
but I just like the idea that, you know, the scale is just massive. Although, again, I don't think Prime would be able to get that close to the bridge on the thing, the kind of the front of the dish.
Well, if it's just a display. It's just zoomed in.
Oh, that's true, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's a good pick image. I like it. It's well done. Cover B.
All right. I think I would pick the same cover B as well. Although I would like to point out that the RI cover, I really do like the look of that one too. It kind of reminds me of like an image you would see on like an Atari box or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of the feeling I got from it. All right. Into the summary here. Picking up where we left off of the last issue, Kirk is struggling to control Fortress Tiberius during his fight with Triptychon as the latent emotions of Fortress Maximus are trying to take over. As the two Titans fight, the Federation members and the Autobots are trying to avoid being squashed. Nearby, Megatron is surprised that the humans have a Titan, and then he's also surprised that Starscream abandons his post. I don't know why he'd be surprised at that. Starscream has used the cloaking technology that the Klingons gave the Decepticons and has snuck away to steal some dilithium crystals. With these crystals, he's hoping with these crystals, he's got plans to take over. Megatron spots Starscream blasting away with the dilithium crystals and cloaking again, and Megatron blames the Klingons. Jazz is content to let the two enemy factions fight it out, but Lieutenant Imres says that the Federation protects all life, even their enemies. Megatron gets one blast off at the Klingons when Optimus shows up from behind and attacks him with his energy axe. Optimus is barely able to stand, but he defends the Klingon and the Federation members as Fortress Tiberius and Triptychon continue their fight in the distance. Kirk is starting to lose it as Triptychon increases his attack, and Curry is preparing himself for an honorable death by Megatron's energy mace. However, Curry is saved at the last minute by Jazz, and suddenly Megatron finds himself surrounded by Autobots. Kirk manages to take control fully again and begins to beat Triptychon as Megatron sounds the retreat. He orders Triptychon to transform into his Bird of Prey mode and goes to pursue Starscream. With the Decepticons gone, the Klingons are promptly arrested by the Enterprise crew, and they are all beamed aboard Fortress Tiberius, now in its Enterprise form. They then go to try to find and meet up with the real Enterprise. The real ship is in bad shape, and Kirk beams his crew and the Autobots over. Scotty begins repairs while Kirk mulls the decision to invade the Klingon Empire and risk war just to save their homeworld. At the same moment, Starscream has arrived at Kronos and begins his plans of conquest. So it's a fairly quick read. I think this whole series, I think, is playing out like, you know, like a 5-episode miniseries would be. I mean, it's not too deep, but I'm finding this to still be a fun book. It's been a long time since I've watched the animated Trek series, but I think the styles are mixing pretty well. The art style in particular, I mean, it's matching both series. And, you know, I think if nothing else, the art in this book is really good. Daryl, what do you think of this? You know, lots of fighting.
I thought it was a fun book. You know, I enjoyed the goofiness factor of it. This whole book had to be just bonkers to you know, do anything. I really don't have a lot of complaints about it. The art was really great. It some of the faces kind of grabbed me the wrong way. I think Windblade looked kind of off the whole time.
Yeah, she didn't match her G1 form.
No, but the part where Megatron takes a shot at her in the air, she's basically drawn like a Seeker, just with a couple little bits added on. So I don't think she was drawn particularly well there. And personally, I had forgotten that Starscream had any kind of cloaking technology, because I was like, wait a minute, why? What is he doing? How is he doing this?
Well, I don't know if they mentioned it before. I don't remember that, but they... In one of the first pages, the Klingons are like, we gave you, and then Starscream says, you don't have to be broadcasting that everywhere. And that, I thought it was just implied.
Right, okay. Yeah. But yeah, no, I liked the story. It was fun. This whole miniseries is meant to be bonkers. Mm-hmm. So there's no way any of this needs to be taken seriously at all. It's not meant to be taken seriously. I hope not, anyway. I enjoy the bonkersness of it. It's quite fun. But yeah, the art is great. I like the part at the end about how when they get beamed into the hangar, they have to, Scotty has to say, look, you guys can't fit anywhere else. You're going to have to stay here.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. No, I thought it was great.
Cool. Charles, what about you?
Yeah. So, I mean, this... I'm curious how they're going to wrap things up in the next issue, but I thought this was a good continuation of the story. Seeing the big Fortress Maximus Trypticon fight was fun. Seeing Starscream. Starscream's going to Starscream, so that was nice to see him do what he does best. I was a little confused, like, why does Fortress Maximus need to be controlled by Captain Kirk? Why couldn't they just have Fortress Maximus fight?
I'm under the impression that he was dead.
Oh.
I think damaged. He was just really badly damaged.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
You gotta remember, he was like underground.
Yeah, that's true.
He crashed, right?
Yeah. But it was fun seeing. Yeah, get some dilithium crystals. See how that compares to Energon and getting warp drive and all that. Seeing the energy axe and mace from Prime and Megatron make an appearance. That was nice. Yeah, it was just a fun little crossover story. So I still think it's kind of on the kind of mass side in general, but you know, I like this one better than the previous issues. So, and I'm curious to see what Starscream's going to do on Kronos. Mm-hmm. And the art, I thought the art was well done, except for Windblade. I agree. She looked kind of weird. Also, is Arachnid gone? I didn't see Arachnid anywhere.
Didn't see her at all. I think the only other Decepticon we really see is Soundwave, and he doesn't really get any lines.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the end of the crossover and see how they resolve everything.
Cool. Yeah. Well, you know, I thought this was a neat use of like cloaking and kind of an homage to the Ghost Starscream thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that is Star Trek Transformers number 4, and One thing I'm really wondering about is what do Star Trek sites and podcasts think of this? I'm wondering if their opinions are similar to ours, that it's just kind of a wacky crossover, or are they really offended?
I don't know. It'd be interesting to track one down that's reviewed it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is it for the comic review this week.
All right. Well, let's move on to some Transformers media news.
All right, in media news this week, we've got some Transformers The Game from 2007, concept art by Ken Christensen. If you remember this game, it wasn't great, but it definitely showed us some other characters that might have been in the movie. So, and some of that had toys, that was kind of interesting. So, yeah, these guys were in the game, and it was kind of fun to see all the different robots and stuff that were running around. So take a look at that if you're up for some... a flashback to 12 years ago, some old concept art. We've also got the Transformers trading card game has been very busy. Their social medias have been putting out a lot of cards that are coming out for Wave 2. We're seeing what the Wave 2 packages are going to look like, the boxes that are going to, what they're going to look like, a lot of the cards that I've been revealing. Last episode, we talked about how Predaking is a combiner, and you got to get, you can get all five cards and combine them. Well, they've got Volcanicus as well as a combiner, and you got to get all the Dinobots, and you can combine them. Now, I found it kind of odd because the Dinobots were in Wave 1, and now you got to get them all again, and you can combine them to form Volcanicus. Kind of double dipping on the whole Dinobot thing, but whatever. Also, more combiners. We've got Menasor, and now Triple Changers as well are coming into the game. Stunticons. They've also revealed some individual like battle cards. I'm not going to go into them all. There's a lot of stuff coming out in Wave 2. Take a look at some of the links in the show notes if you're interested in seeing what exactly is coming. As far as Bumblebee movie goes, it's been out for quite some time. They're throwing up some concept art as well. There's a Tiandi Press novelization. The theater run got extended by another month in China. And a life-size statue is at Diver City in Tokyo Plaza. So that's kind of neat. A lot of stuff. Stuff's kind of dwindling down for the Bumblebee movie, which is expected. It's been out. The movie's done. It's not in theaters anymore in North America.
Yeah, although it hasn't come out in Japan at all yet.
Well, there you go. So it's still running around, but it's making its rounds, but it's definitely not in North America anymore. So unless you find it in some of those the discount theaters and such, but anyway, that's it for media news this week.
All right, let's finish up the show with some convention news.
First thing we have here is Jeff Sr. is going to be at the True Believers Cheltenham Festival. And this is February 2nd, which is just in a couple days. It's coming up weekend. And he's going to be doing quick, it says quick pen line sketching, $40 per figure. And it's basically just a bust, head and shoulders. He's also going to be signing books, and he's going to do something on how to draw dynamic Transformers. And when I saw this on Twitter, I also saw Simon Furman pipe in that Jeff Sr. is also going to be giving out free posters to their new comic they're working on called To the Death. So if you're going to that convention, go check them out and maybe get some Jeff Sr. art. Next, we have TFCon. We have lots of announcements for TFCon Los Angeles. First one is... artist Josh Burcham is going to be there. He did coloring on the book we just reviewed. He's been a pretty fantastic colorist on a number of IDW comics. The next one we have is writer David Wise. He was a writer for the G1 cartoon series. He did a number of pretty, like, the more renowned episodes. He's behind a lot of those. He's also done writing for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series. He did over 70 episodes of those. That's making me upset that I'm going to miss that convention. I'm sure I'm sure he's going to be someone that Yoshi's going to target to try to talk to. Next thing we have is a voice actor, Jerry Hauser. He was the voice of Junkyard, Sandstorm, and Sweep in G1. He's going to be joining the G1 reunion there. And he's only going to be there on Saturday, it looks like. So check the TFCon schedule for the exact times. So, and he was also the voice of Sci-Fi on G.I. Joe. Not familiar with that character. And the last TFCon announcement we have this week is writers Bill Forrester and Jim Sorensen are going to be attending. They are writers of the Ark, which is a complete compendium of character designs. I believe they're also behind the book with all the packaging art, which the name escapes me. They've done a number of books in that vein, like coffee table sized books with some of this, kind of behind the scenes information. They're going to be hosting a panel on the art of Transformers, which is a look behind the scenes production art. And another thing that I would have liked to see, and hate that I'm going to miss it. The next thing I have is for TF Nation. We mentioned this in the other show, but I thought we should mention it in both. The Forge and Trader applications are online. The Forge area is where you can, if you're creative, if you have art, if you have crafts, this is where they have it, where you can sell. And then the Trader is the more traditional dealer room type area. Both of those are online. We have a link to the page with pricing and how to apply. We also have a page where they have changes to their Hilton reservation system. And this is important if you're going to be going. They're now requiring, Hilton is now requiring a deposit at the time of booking. And the deposit is equivalent to one night stay. Make sure to check our show notes for the link to that. And, hopefully no one gets burned by having to cancel and being, out, looks like almost 80 pounds or maybe a little bit more. And the last TF Nation update is tickets go on sale February 9th. Go to tfnation.com to purchase them. And if you're under 18, it's free. If you're over 18, you got to pay. For an adult, it's $65. For a senior, or 65 pounds. For a senior, it's 20 pounds. For the weekend, and they also have day passes. So check out the tfnation.com for all that information. And the last thing I want to have is C2E2 coming up the weekend of March 22nd in Chicago. They've announced Jess Harnell, who was it was interested to me because of Animaniacs, but then I saw Transformers under there, and I looked it up, and I'm like, oh, he was in live-action movies. He was Ironhide in most of them and Barricade in The Last Knight. He joins Rob Paulsen, who was a number of voices in G1. So a couple Transformer guests there. I know, like me, many people are just going to go there for the Animaniacs. But yeah, if you are going to any other convention or you find out a Transformers person is going to be at any convention near you, let me know, because I want to expand the section beyond just the normal TFCon, TF Nation type updates. So if there's smaller conventions that get like a Transformers artist or anyone, just let me know and I'll fill out the section with that information. So that is it for all the convention news.
And that takes us to the end of the show. So no new alt mode feedback this week. So you can always send us more at transmissionspodcast.com/feedback, and you can even do short audio recordings, and we may or may not play them on the show. Probably we will.
We have played them all so far.
Yes, we have. So don't break our streak. But please keep the messages short. All right, so that's it. We'll see you next time, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.